Hello, my name is Vladimir Deese, and this is a Class War Battlefield podcast, addendum to episode 21. Let's get started. The one thing that conservatives have gotten consistently right is their notion that abortion signals a society that has gone awry and gone wrong. Even to some extent, their concept that God is angry at us is correct, but not in the sense that they believe. Both of their notions are pretty much influenced by the Bible, where God is this entity who is separate from us and basically is ready to bring down the hammer on us with anything negative we do that is not fundamentally assigned to us by him. Basically, we are just marionettes on strings. We don't have free will, and to the extent that we have free will, we always utilize it wrong. In the debate of abortion, of course, free will is a central part of Christian and evangelical dissent from it. We use our free will negatively, especially in this instance. Here's the true meaning of what they mean by abortion. Is a symptom of a society gone awry. We have gotten to a point in our history where we should be conscious enough, spiritually intelligent enough, to plan our families. We should be, at this moment, in our lifetimes, in our history, able to say, you know something? We have everything we need, thus we will not have a child until we are both emotionally ready to accept and nurture and care for that child. We should be there, but we're not. And most of the reasons, ironically, why we aren't there is because of the conservatives that have always existed within the times where we have tried to thrust ourselves forward as a society. Probably the easiest time period to look at where this was on display is the 60s and the 70s. As we as a nation started to recognize, or should I say some of us started to recognize, that privilege was not a white birthright. Those of us who saw, and I wasn't one of them, I was born way after the 60s, but if I was, I would definitely be included in this. So those of us who saw that this society needed to live up to a higher spiritual principle went out, put our lives on the line, and said, you know something? We are going to force the conscious minds of Americans open. The conservatives were the ones who said no. They were the ones who said the system is fine as it is. And I'm not just talking about just civil rights. I'm talking about on every pertinent issue of the day. Whether it was a warful society, meaning a society that was built around the concept of war, a economic society which was built on exploitation, an economic society that was built on expansion, an economic society that was built on, or a consumer society that was built on waste, conservatives were the ones who always said no. No, the way that we were doing it was fine. This isn't ideology, this is how it's always been. Conservatives want the status quo. They want the establishment to remain established. They don't understand that there could be cracks and sections of denigration and all that within the foundation, within the establishment. They just want it to remain as it is. Abortion, therefore, symbolized the final, I'd like to say the final necessity of a society which wasn't capable enough of creating a world where all spirits would be welcomed and nurtured. It's kind of ironic. Most people don't conceive this. They don't think about this when it comes to the abortion information or the abortion debate. is, well, of course, I should also mention here that most people don't know about this, but Christopher Columbus and the individuals who followed him into Haiti recounted the fact that women who saw them coming, who witnessed them slaughter their village men and women, would often run, and if they were captured and they were pregnant, they would actually abort their fetus. And they would do it by taking a stick and shoving it up their vagina and piercing the head of the baby to kill it, to stop it from living in the world that was coming into existence. Or they would take herbs which would perform the abortion as necessary, which I, obviously, if they knew about these herbs and they knew that this would indeed give them an abortion, obviously it was something that existed within their culture already. I don't understand particularly why they might have used it, but it was something that they obviously knew about. And in this one extreme case, to save their children, they would utilize it to abort their children. So on that level, I guess I can truthfully say that in many instances at a spiritual level, the parents could be, in essence, saying, the world isn't ready for this child yet. I'm not ready for this child yet. I'm not trying to bring a spirit in who I can't nurture. I'm not going to do it. So now this whole concept of God being mad, right? I've been reading over the last couple of years about this concept of subpersonalities. And increasingly, more and more psychologists are starting to believe that we are not, in essence, one entity as a soul, or internally, emotionally, whatever you care to call it. We are many subpersonalities kind of conglomerated together, and each one of these subpersonalities takes a turn at being in charge of our persona. Now, I'm not going to really get into the heaviness of this, but what I want you to understand is still at the center of all of these personalities is, in essence, a coordinator. It's our soulful self. And the soulful self basically reflects the entity which is directly in front of it. And the soulful self is allowed or enabled, in essence, to combine these subpersonalities as they're healed and as they're remedied. They can then be tended to each individually as the need arises. So, for instance, just to give you a quick example, if one subpersonality needs to exercise and another one needs nurturing, as long as there is not anything emotionally blocking them from doing these things, as that need arises, the person can thus take care of that need by jogging, bicycling, what have you, or maybe saying to their partner, hey, can we, spend the night inside tonight? Can we spend the next couple of days just hanging out and, being partners? Because that's what I'm really in need of right now. Here's the thing. We as a society don't talk about spiritual healing anymore. We basically have emotional healing, physical healing, psychological healing, but very few of us understand spiritual healing. And with the whole concept of the subpersonality, without spiritual healing, without that soul force being grounded in this reality, being able to understand its world, understand the entities, the subpersonalities that surround them, and able to reflect the true nature of those personalities, there is no spiritual healing, there is no emotional healing, there is no psychological healing, there is no physical healing. That personality, that soulful self, that central soulful self, needs to be in a position to guide the body toward all of the ends needed by all of the subpersonalities as they are fully functioning. and when they are fully functioning. When that doesn't happen, then there's schizophrenia, there is an inability to understand one's emotions and tendencies, there's an inability to control one's emotions, to process current events through the lens of past events or past events through the here and now. I mean, there's just a host of problems with it. And in essence, this is the concept of God being angry. I once read that anger was a well-earned emotion. Now, personally, I'm one person who thinks anger is completely useless because it accomplishes nothing. But on the other hand, this philosopher was saying that anger is one of those things that it is such a heavy force that when properly directed, it actually ignites all of your chakras, all your entire social being, and it induces, when directed properly, may I say, again, it induces a type of spiritual healing that one might compare to the soul being on fire. That's what it induces. So when it is negatively applied, it fragments the perception of the soulful self. It fragments the ability of the personalities to come through clearly and of the body to respond in a positive manner. And this creates internal frustration. Most people who believe they are angry are indeed frustrated, and because of this, they do not see clearly. It almost is like they pulled a wool over their eyes and over their senses when they become frustrated, especially when it mounts up. It's like an earthquake, and pressure mounts up, and then boom, and that's why people explode like that emotionally. The God that is angry is that soulful self. This is the center that we are not adhering to. When you combine the whole concept of our society going awry, you know, the concept of us not being able to fully nurture every single life, whether here or coming in, that we need to, and the resorting of our society to abortions because we don't want to bring in children in wrong circumstances that could do more damage to them than help them. When you combine that with the whole concept of the internal self being restless, the internal soulful self being frustrated and angry and displaced, what you soon realize is that the Christian right, the evangelicals, the Christian conservatives, they see the forest, but they can't understand the trees. They're not wrong in what they're saying. They just don't perceive it on the deepest levels. I'm recently getting into a concept, not me writing about it, but I'm learning about it, called spiritual intelligence or spiritual quantum. And what a person needs to understand about spiritual quantums or intelligence is that it is a kind of a synthesizing force between mental intelligence and emotional intelligence. I mean, there's other intelligences out there, but this is a synthesizing of that. I mean, I'm pretty confident, you know, at the end of the day, we can say that there is a certain kind of intelligence about or surrounding how people interact with each other, and it's not emotional. But that's for another day. One of the important concepts that I'm learning about this SQ, the spiritual quantians, the spiritual intelligence, is that when you understand it and when you fully synthesize your emotion and your mental and you bring it together, What you do is you put yourself in a place to see not only yourself in your life in a different light, but you see other people's selves and their lives in a different light. It almost allows you to be present and to project yourself and to empathize and be compassionate in 35 different ways that you never knew existed before. This is the key component that that Christians and evangelicals are missing. They're so ready to dedicate themselves to the concept of religion that they're forgetting religion does not necessitate or doesn't necessarily bring out spirituality. Just like spirituality, most likely, will eliminate religion. Because ultimately, one person's spirituality may differ from another person's spirituality, and yet the principles are all the same. Abortion, therefore, at the end of all this, is misunderstood by the Christians and the evangelicals. If we are to purely understand it, then we must understand the deeper meanings of it. I want to thank you for listening. Until next time.